Some things don't change, and one of them is Limud Torah and the centrality of it. So we're learning the Gemara, Daf Yotes on the base. So we're going to now learn some halachas of Tumah v'Torah. So if you remember, we had the principle of Ein Eitzah v'Ein Tvunah Neged Hashem, which we said applies to Do'iraisas. But if it's, for example, a Tumah of Beis HaPras, which is only a Durabonon, then Chazal did in fact waive that particular Issa if covered Habrius is at stake. So the last example we saw was when Rabbi Elazar said that we used to skip over the coffins in order to greet the kings, the Jewish and the non-Jewish kings, and there certainly was an issue of covered Habrius. But the big question was that over here, it's not a Durabonon. Previous case was a drabonon because we're not even sure that there are any bones in the field at all. It's all being plowed up. It's only a far-fetched chashash. But over here, there's definitely a mace. There is definitely a dead body in the coffin. There's no suffix whatsoever. And l'chera, therefore, if you skip over the arayin, you are becoming tomei min ha-toira. So why don't we apply the rule of ein chachma? So what we left off with yesterday was that we are introduced to a very, very important rule of Rava. We mentioned it briefly. I think, Ramesh Zelig, you got cut off in all your glory in the middle of a sentence. That's what happens to these limited meetings. But Al-Kol Ponim, we're going to learn a principle called Tumah Ritzutza. What's Tumah Ritzutza? If we were to be talking about an open-topped coffin, so imagine if you put the mace in an open box, so then that tome, the tumor of the mace, rises until where? Forever, until Shemaim. And of course, as you mentioned, that's what you were discussing yesterday, Ramesh Zelig, that's the whole aeroplane question. If we're talking about that type of tumor, which has no chatzitza, nothing acting as a barrier, then the tumor, it's like a ray of light. It will just continue going on forever. If, however, it is covered, like an ordinary oroin will be covered, there'll be a lid. So then the lid, in theory, could act as a chatzitza. Again, the moshel would always be, imagine the mace is like a ray of light. So if there's a lid on the box, then the ray of light cannot escape. However, that's where the moshel to light falls short, because over here, there's a differentiation between how close the lid is to the dead body. If the lid is very close to the dead body, such that there is no distance of a tefach, which is just one hand's breadth, there is no distance of a tefach between the mace and the lid, so then, indeed, the lid will not act as a chatzitza. If, however, there is a gap, which means the lid is itself acting as an oihel, the principle of tefach is that it's an oihel. Why, if, for example, if the box was open-topped, and you travel over it to you, Tommy, because then you are acting as an oihel. You are, as it were, the lid of this box. It doesn't matter whether you sit on top of the oroin or whether you're in a plane 30,000 feet in the air. It doesn't matter. You are the lid. If the mace already has a lid and is therefore considered in an oihel, then when you are above the lid, we don't say that you are acting as the lid for the mace, because the mace already has a lid. But that's only if there's a gap of a tefach. Why? Because if there's a gap of a tefach, the minimum height of an oihel is a tefach. So let's loosely translate oihel as a structure. How tall must a structure be in order to be considered an oihel? And the answer is a tefach. So if, therefore, the lid is more than a tefach away from the mace, it is forming a structure in which the mace now finds itself. So if we ask ourselves the question, in which oihel is the mace lying? The answer is in the oroi. So if you now stand or jump or whatever it may be above the oroin, you are not the oil. It's already in an oil. If, however, the lid is so closely packed to the mace that there is no tefach distance, so then the lid is not doing anything oil-wise because it's not forming a structure of a tefach height. Therefore, it will not act as a chatzitza. And if it will not act as a chatzitza, then when you jump over the oroin, you are the oil, you are the lid, and you become tummy. However, there's one more rule, and that is, even if there is, in fact, a tefach, so if there's a tefach, then the lid of the oroin is acting as a oihel, and therefore it is a chatzitza. But midrabbanan, whoever arrives, whoever stands above it, will still become tamei. It's only midrabbanan. Min ha-toira, as we just explained, you do not become tamei. Why not? Because there's a lid which is acting as a chatzitza. But Chazal were concerned that people will get mixed up between when there is and isn't a tefach. And therefore they said, in all cases you become tamei, even if there is a tefach. If there's no tefach, then you become tamei min ha-toira. But if there is a tefach and you shouldn't, me'ika hadin, become tamei, you nonetheless become tamei at least midrabbanan. Those are the ground rules. Now let's come back to our story. Rabbi Elazar describes skipping over an oroin for the sake of covered habrius. And the question was, why? Ein chochma v'ein eitzah v'ein tvuna neged Hashem. You know what the answer is? We were talking about an oroin which had a tefach gap until the lid, which means essentially the lid is a chatzitza and tumah cannot escape. It does escape, as it were, midrabbanan. So then we're back to our old rule that when you're only dealing with an issue of derabbanan, then for the sake of kavod habrius, it gets waived. So if there was no tefach gap and the tumah would escape min ha-toira, then indeed there would have been no permit. Remember, Rabbi Elazar was a kohen, he's not allowed to become tamei. But because there was a tefach gap, essentially you don't become tamei. It is only a gezeira midrabbanan. Drabbanans are waived for kavod habrius. So let's see that in the Gemara. Kederava, the second last word on the line. Kederava. Says the Gemara, the answer must be as Rava taught us, Da'oma Rava, because Rava said, Devar Toira, which means Min HaToira. Devar Toira, the halacha Min HaToira is that an oihel, kol sheyesh boy halal tefach. What's a halal? A space. If there is a space of a tefach, meaning from the mace until the top of the lid, then chaytzeitz bifnei ha-tumah, then you'll act as a barrier in front of this tumah. Chaytzeitz is a barrier. Just like, as we know, if somebody toivels in the mikveh and then they discover upon exiting the mikveh there is a piece of dirt on their hand, and that is a chatzitza, that is a barrier. A barrier between what? Between the water and the skin of the body. So to over here, there's a barrier. The lid is acting as a barrier between the tumah and whatever is above the lid. However, v'she'ein boy chalal tefach, if it does not have a space of a tefach, then chay'enoi chaytzeitz bifnei ha-tumah. Then indeed, it will not be chaytzeitz before the tumah. And this is what's called, as we'll see in Rashi, tuma ratsutsa, as it were, squashed tuma. It doesn't have, as it were, a breathing space. It's not in an oihel. The lid is so close to the mace that it's tuma ratsutsa. The tuma is squashed there, and therefore it will escape all the way up to heaven. Those are the basic ground rules. Now, says the Gemara, v'rayv aroinos, most coffins, yesh bohen chalal tefach. That is apparently a fact of life, that most oroin, most coffins, do have a space of a tefach. Which means that in most cases, no tumah can escape, because the lid will act as a chatzitza by virtue of the fact that there is a gap of a tefach between the lid and the mace. However, the gozru al sheyesh bohen, comma, they made a gzeira with regard to those areinu sheyesh bohen that do have this halal tefach. Why did they make a gzeira? Mishum she'ein bohen. Because of the other type, remember, we didn't say that every oroin, we said roiv. So we're making a gezeira on the roiv because of those that do not have the halal, meaning the minority. So it's only a gezeira midrabanon. Umishum kavoid melachim loy gozru bohen rabanon. So we are once again evoking the rule that we said before. Because it is only an issue of Darabonon, therefore Chazal waived it for the sake. Until now we saw covered Abriyas, now covered Melochim. But again, that's all because we're not dealing with real Tumah. If you're asking what the real Halacha Min HaTorah is, if there's a space of a Tefach, then the lid is a Chatzitza and Rabbi Elazar would never have become Tomei. But because there is a gezeira midrabanan, essentially he should become tomei, that halacha becomes waived because of kavod melachim.
We talk here about kavod melach or kavod abrios. What about kavod mace? The fact that they're doing what they're doing, and obviously it's got nothing to do with tuma tahara, but the whole idea, the fact that they're jumping over the aron.
That's considered a lack of kavod mace?
Yeah.
Good point. I'm not sure what the answer is. As you're quite right. There is halacha. When you go into the Beis HaKvaros, for example, one should be makpid not to step over the kvari.
Right.
You can, certainly not to walk on them. Good point.
Okay.
Not sure. Okay, have a look at Rashi.
So ultimately somebody is getting, there is tumah in these cases at the end of the day.
We're not saying that he's not becoming Tomei. That wasn't the issue. The issue is, how is he allowed to become Tomei? A Kohen is not allowed to become Tomei. You're over an Issa by becoming Tomei.
There's even Issa Daraisa here in some cases.
Yeah, but not in this case because there was a Halal Tefach. Min HaTorah, you cannot become Tomei if there really is Tumah. But if there is a gap of a tefach, then essentially min ha-Torah, you are not becoming Tomei, therefore you have not transgressed the Issa. Midrabanon, you are becoming Tomei, and therefore there will be an Issa Drabanon. That Issa is waived for the sake of Kavod Melachim. We're not saying that he doesn't become Tomei. We're just saying that the Issa of becoming Tomei as a Kohen is waived because of Kavod Melachim.
Does that mean that such a Kohen would be able to do the avoda after becoming rabbinically tamei?
No, he would not be allowed.
He would not be allowed.
Right. That means rabbinically, he would have to undergo the same process as you would need if you became tamei min ha-Torah, albeit that this is only a derabbanan dekahalach.
By that, you mean para aduma.
Right. Says the Rashi, devar Torah. What does it mean, Devar Torah? Rashi says, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. What's Rashi pointing out to us? Because if we were learning the Gemara, we might be a bit confused. Devar Torah sounds like it's written in the Torah. Rashi says, you're probably wondering to yourself, where on earth does it say in the Torah these halachas of Chalal Tefach? Says Rashi, you know, it doesn't mean it's written in the Torah. It is mid-da'oraisa, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu told it to Moshe Rabbeinu on Sinai, so it's actually not written anywhere. Einoi chaytseitz b'fnei ha'tuma. We said if there is no halal tefach, then it will not be chaytseitz. Says Rashi, denikreis, that's called tuma ratzutza, packed tuma. And it breaks forth and rises up and continues going all the way up to Shemayim. Again, if there is no halal tefach, in the normal case, there is a halal tefach. So therefore, you shouldn't be tomei. Midrabbanan, you become tomei. It is osa midrabbanan for a kohen to be therefore become tomei, but that issa midrabbanan is waived because of kavod malach. That is the end of the subject. Now, we're going to learn, I'm not sure if we'll finish it today, but at least let's make a start to the top Tosfos. Now, in order to understand the top Tosfos, we need to be introduced to one more halacha. We need to be introduced to one more halacha. As we well know, a dead body is matame. In fact, a dead body is what we call the avi avos hatuma. It's the father of all tumah. There is a halacha that the goylel, and we'll describe goylel in a second, it's part of the grave, is also matame. Not just the dead body, but also the goylel. We learn this from Psukim. There is a very big discussion. What is the Goylel? Gimel, Vov, Lamed, Lamed. What is the Goylel? We know that's explicit, that just as the dead body is Tomei, and therefore will be Metamei, so to the Goylel is Tomei, and therefore will be Metamei. But what is the Goylel? So there's a very big machloikas. Some maintain that the goylel is the upright matzeva. So every grave has, as it were, the oroin, but then next to it is the matzeva, the upright vertical piece of stone or whatever it may be. That is the goylel, and that is tomei and is matame. Rashi learns, not here, but elsewhere in Shas, that goylel is not what we call the upright matzeva, but rather is the lid of the keva. The lid of the keva is itself tumah. It's a piece of tumah. Not just it has been makabel tumah from the dead body, but rather by virtue of the fact that it is goylel, it is considered an entity of tumah.
You're not talking about the lid of the aron. You're talking about, say, the stone slab that's above it, right?
We'll see. Rashi says, although Tosfos brings it, it's the kisui of the aron. It's actually the lid of the aron. Now, if that's the case, let's go for a moment with Shittas Rashi. Rashi is telling us that the goylel, the lid of the aron, is tame in its own right. If that's the case, then this whole Gemara makes no sense whatsoever. Why are we busy looking at the dead body inside the Orin and working out whether the Tumah can escape or not escape? And we are saying, correctly, that it depends on whether there's a halal tefach or not. So what do we say? That if there's a halal tefach, so essentially the tumah cannot emerge, cannot escape from the aron. One moment. That's all fine and well with regard to the dead body. But the lid itself is tumah. And if the lid itself is tumah, when you skip over the aron, forget the dead body. You are forming an oihel over the goylel, so you should become tomei anyway. If the only item of Tumah was the dead body, yes, then it's important for us to work out, can the Tumah of the dead body escape or not? But once we know that the Goylel is also Matame, and Rashi tells us elsewhere in Shasta, the Goylel is the lid of the Aroin, so the lid, for all intents and purposes, is like the dead body. So if you skip over the Aroin, you should become Tumah, by virtue of the fact that you just formed an oihel over the goylel. So what on earth are we busy discussing about how much gap is inside the aron? It's all irrelevant. Look at the top tesis. Medalgin hayinu al gabe aronis. Tema. Says tesis, this is a wonder. Lamed pehe lepirish hakuntras. According to Rashi, the pirish. Rashi points out in a number of places, the goylel is a kisui shel aroin. Rashi learns that the goylel is not the upright, but rather the lid of the aroin. And we learn this, the Tanya, because we've learned in a brayso, it's learned from a pasuk, kol asher yiga al pnei hasodeh, quote unquote, that is a pasuk, Le rabbis, this comes to include goylel the doifik. We're not going to get involved in the halachas of a doifik, but let's just consider it all one. It's the goylel the doifik. The goylel is matami. And Rashi learns that the goylel is the lid of the aron. Imkein, gam ha goylel matami ba'oihel. Well, then the goylel is itself matami like an oihel. So therefore, you're back to square one. The heich hayu medalgin olav. So how did they skip over it? Now, let's just explain. We must not make a mistake. The halacha of tumah normally means that if you're going to be mekabel tumah, how do you do so? By coming into physical contact with the tumah. So if you have a dead animal, if you touch it, or move it, or lift it, you'll become Tommy. As we mentioned yesterday, Tumas Oyel is a tremendous chiddush, because Tumas Oyel means you become Tommy even though you did not come into physical contact with the item which is Tumah, but you are an Oyel. That only applies to a mace. One needs to know this halacha. If you enter a building and there's a dead animal there, you do not become Tommy. The chiddush of goylel is that a goylel is treated exactly as the mace. That's the chiddush of goylel. So if you put all of that together, it means in the same way as if you skip over a mace, you become Tommy. So too, if you skip over a goylel, you become Tommy. And if, according to Rashi, the goylel is the lid of the aroin, well then if you skip over the lid of the aroin, you become Tommy. Why? Not because of the mace. Forget the mace. Because of the goylel itself. Therefore, that's Tosis Kasha. So to have a whole discussion about whether the tumah of the mace can escape or not is totally irrelevant. You should become Tommy by virtue of the fact that you skipped over the goylel. So how do they jump over the aroin? That's a tumah d'oraisa.
What? At what point does the goylel take on that Tommy status?
From the moment that the mace is put inside it. Then it is serving as a goylel. But again, it's not that the mace is matame the goylel. Rather, the goylel is an independent entity of tumah because it is serving as the lid of the coffin. The lid of a coffin, special gzeiras hakosov, is considered like a dead body.
But after kavura, you're going to have all that dirt in between the goylel and the avir above it, and therefore, after kavura, there's not a problem, right?
So you're going to get, it's going to get complicated because there's no oihel above the lid because the earth is packed on top of the lid.
Ah.
And that is going back to the whole airplane question.
Okay, so what about the, what if we, do we say that the marble slab, the matzeva that's horizontal, on top of that dirt, does that act as a chatzitza?
Right. So that can, yeah, some things can. We're going to learn, some of these halachas are going to be discussed in Tosfos right now. So therefore, this is Tosfos' enormous question. Why are we focusing on the dead body, working out whether its tumah can escape, but we seem to have completely forgotten that the goyel itself is treated as if it were a dead body. If you skip over it, that's like skipping over a mace. Says Tosfos, v'yesh loyma d'loy kasha. It's not difficult at all. This does not present a possible a difficulty for us. Why? So here we have another rule. We learned tumah v'tahara, then there's thousands and thousands of rules. The hotani b'smochos, we've learned the following. Kol tumah she'ein ha-nozir megaleach olav, ein kayein muzer oleho. Besides for kayanim not being allowed to become tamei, there is one other person who's not allowed to become tamei, and that is the nozir. So the rule of thumb is, if it's osa for the nozir, it's osa for the kohen. Not every tumah applies to a nozir. When we say that a nozir cannot become tomei, it is not a general rule. It applies only to certain forms of tumah. Now, if you apply the rule, whatever applies to nozir applies to kohen. Says Tosfos, we'll have to see more about this tomorrow. For whatever reason, Tumas Goyleil does not apply to a Nazir. And if you apply the rule, therefore, if it doesn't apply to a Nazir, then it doesn't apply to a Kohen either. And therefore, our Gemara makes perfect sense. Why are we not discussing the Goyleil? Yes, the Goyleil is Tomei. But there's no issa for a kohen to become tumas goyleil. Why not? Because if it's not metame the nozir, or at least not it's not metame, if there's no issa for the nozir, then there's no issa for the kohen either. Therefore, the only subject we can discuss is not the goyleil, but rather the mace itself.
So, okay.